Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Page 66. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Worship of demigods may be useful for a limited time, but the result is antavat, perishable. This material world is impermanent. The demigods are impermanent, and the benedictions derived from the demigods are also impermanent. Whereas the living entity is eternal, nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. Every living entity, therefore, must search for eternal happiness, not temporary happiness. The words satyam param dhimahi, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1, indicate that one should search out the absolute truth, not the relative truth. While offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj said, Balasya neha sharanam pitarau nrisimha nartasya chagadam udanvati maj jato nahu. Generally, it is understood that the protectors for the child are his parents, but this is not actually the fact. The real protector is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Taptasya tad pratividhir ya ihan jasesh tas tavad vibho tanu britam tvad upekshitanam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.19. If neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a child, despite the presence of his parents, will suffer. And a diseased person, despite all medical help, will die. In this material world, there is a struggle for existence. Men have invented many means for protection, but these are all useless if the Supreme Personality of Godhead rejects them. Therefore, the demigods purposely say, Satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapannaha. Real protection can be obtained from you, O Lord, and therefore we surrender unto you. So, the Lord means he's eternal, so he's the actual one that's dealing, because we're dealing on the material world. That the whole point is that if he is the efficient cause and the material cause, then that means why the material cause works is because of him. Right? So, therefore, we make arrangements on the material platform. Why those arrangements work is because of him. Because it's him. The potency of it is him. So if he is protecting you, you'll be protected. And if he's not, you won't. So the demigods understand this. Yes.
I don't understand clearly. What's the difference between the original and efficient cause?
Of the original
and efficient.
Same thing.
Okay.
It's just the different terms.
Okay. And the second one, the Bhagavatam verse references are given by...
Means these ones here. These are Sahotra Swami. He did a study, he spent a year then studying between the words that are used and the context that they're used in. And then looked up the words in the Bhagavatam and then found which verses then, you know, had the connection. Because, you know, he was doing the study of if the Bhagavatam is the natural commentary, that must mean for all the Vedanta Sutras, then there are Bhagavatam verses like that. Mm-hmm. So then that study, I think he did it back in the 80s. So that's the study that's used for this.
Yeah.
Like that. Yes.
By less intelligent, does it mean those people who have
still have material desires?
Yes, because that means less intelligent means that the soul, which is eternal, is then endeavoring for something which is temporary. That's less intelligent.
But that's most devotees.
Yes, but the point is that doesn't mean that we don't know what the standard is.
Okay. You know, so it's like the difference between the people that pray to the demigods and the people that don't. They both have maturity desires, but one knows the ultimate goal and one doesn't.
Yes, and so therefore you turn to the Supreme Lord as opposed to the demigods, okay. Like that. So that's the aspect of intelligence. Yeah. So the higher the level or application of the consciousness, that's considered greater intelligence. It's not a matter of how much volume of gray matter or how much is your IQ or all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. It's actually how you use it which shows intelligence. Mm-hmm. So the higher the purpose that you're applying it, then that means you're more intelligent. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So, therefore, then Krishna, if he's the ingredients of the material universe, and he's the one who's entered them, right? In other words, he's the ingredients of everything as the transformation of the energies of Brahman, and then as Paramatma, he has entered them. Right? So then from both aspects, what you're dealing with is Krishna, and the potency, why it is what it is Krishna. Right? And then all that's controlled by the modes, everything like this. So it's all Krishna, because the modes happen because the transformation that's happening through the pradhan, because of time. Right? So then, all that you can see is everything's Krishna. Then it's a matter of for the devotee, then they can interact with Krishna in any situation, because it's always Krishna. So then you deal with Krishna that's favorable for him manifesting in that form. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say Krishna comes as a yantra. Then the main thing you do is chanting mantras, right? You don't need to really do anything else, right? And then let's say he comes as the archer, then you're going to bathe and dress the deity. Mm-hmm. Right? But if you just chant mantras and he stands there with no clothes, then it's not exactly an ideal worship. You understand? So it's him, it comes in different forms. Does that make sense? He comes as water, that means in the pot. So you put a coconut on top and that. If you have the deity, you don't put a coconut on top. You know, you open the darshan and that, Krishna's wearing a nice coconut on his head, like that. Does that make sense? You know, so on the pot, you put the coconut, you put the cloth, but on Krishna, because the pot, you know, the coconut will sit, but on the deity, the coconut will roll off, so you take the cloth tight under his chin and then on top of his head, so the coconut sits there. You understand? So there's different ways to worship Krishna in whatever form he comes. Right? So therefore, as he comes as all the material elements and everything that's manifest here, then accordingly to what he is, that's how you deal. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. If Krishna comes as a door, you open the door, then you walk through. Right? You don't open the door, it doesn't work out so good. You know, example being Duryodhana. He didn't open the door. Does that make sense? Like that, yes.
Maharaj, from the angle of what you're explaining to Maharaj's question, the levels of anamoy to anandamoy, are they increasing levels of intelligence in one sense?
In that way you could say yes. Because anybody who's on a higher, then there's more intelligence being used. But the point is all of those levels of intelligence still become a waste of time. You still, all of them are considered unintelligent if you're not connected to Krishna. Right? Means in a devotional way. Because all those levels could connect to Krishna, but not for devotional service. Right? Because there's the acharyas, go to a great endeavor to point out that when you're dealing on the level of morality, means what's the rules you should follow. Right? So then if you follow rules, you're moral. You don't follow rules, you're not moral. Because you can say, no, they're not just rules, there's something more. But depending upon the culture, they have different rules. And so what in one culture is moral and another one's immoral. So Therefore, then morality is just that set of rules that you follow that distinguishes as far as a social environment goes. Because if you're simply self-centered on the platform of sense gratification, you don't really follow any rules. You can become a little more sophisticated in that you're a connoisseur of different things like this, but it's still just about sense gratification. You're just expert at it. You're sophisticated with it. Then you go to the next level, pranamoy, which then you have morality. But then in that morality, it can be without God consciousness, that there's no need. Just we have the social rules, you follow them, there's no need of God. You don't have to worry about God. You just follow these rules and you'll be fine. Right? There's no supreme. Or then there's those who accept that there's a supreme, but at the same time, they don't really believe in it. It's just that if there's a supreme, then it makes everyone follow the rules so much better. Yes. Then there's those who actually believe in God, but it's still God is subservient to their morality. Because it's the morality that's important. And so we worship God to get the benefits of the morality. Like that. You can see that part also down where there's, that thing of God being there, but you don't believe, then that's even less, But even you accept that they come to the point of manamoy where they accept the theological aspect and that. So, but the point is, how you can tell is he's still subservient to the rules, right? It's about morality. In other words, being God conscious makes you a moral person. So if you're a good person, then you're actually religious. Not that you're surrendered to God, but that makes it.
The goal is switched.
It's switched. Because being good means then I'm going to get the benefits, I'm going to get material benefits, either now or in the future. Right? I'll go to the heavenly planets, I'll go to heaven, something like that. So we see is there. And then those who worship the Lord accept his position and all that, but it's for liberation. They only worship him up to the point of liberation. After that, then if you're immersed in Brahman, you're not absorbed, you're not doing anything. So where's the worship? So all these ones, it's temporary, it stops, because there's another purpose. So only bhakti is when you're worshiping the Lord and the goal is to please the Lord. That's the difference. That's why it becomes confusing, is that we see that those on these level of theology, that they're worshiping the Lord, it looks the same. They're nice, they're religious, they're the same. But it's not exactly the same, because it's not about pure devotion. So if we mistake it that what they're doing is what we're doing, in fact, they're better at morality than we are, so actually they're superior. We should learn from them. Then one's actually missed the whole point, because you've come to the point of understanding the Supreme and then traded that in for temporary results on the moral platform. So actually that's not intelligent. Yeah. So that's why one has to be very careful about these modern kind of ideas that, yes, there's a movement in the early days, we focused on self-realization, but at the expense of, families and communities and the individual, but now we've matured, so now we put that focus on the communities and personal development and that, so we're so much better. No, actually, they've dropped. They've become sophisticated, yes. So they can say, no, but we're more mature now. Yes, more mature materially. So you become more sophisticated, because the devotees before, they would engage in these devotional activities with great fervor, right? So they were really committed to that. So the consciousness is very high. Just their development of good qualities and refinement on the material platform wasn't very developed. And why? Not because of Krishna consciousness, because that's what they were. It's being made that Krishna consciousness is the problem. No, they were like that anyway. They were self-centered and like that anyway. Hippies, what are they into? They're into their own self-realization, whatever it is that is, doing their yoga or, drugs or sitting out in the forest or doing all three at once, whatever it is, how many you can get organized at once, and that's better.
With or without clothes.
Yeah, and also with or without a partner. It's all, it's like the more you add, the better it gets. And you throw in some pan pipes, and it's like, you can't get better than that. Or an ocarina like that,
They're all limbs.
Yeah, they're all limbs of So now the point is they're very pleasant and nice and all that because there's so much in ignorance. But as soon as you start to remove that, and they become active. But the point is they're still self-centered. They only care about themselves. You know what I'm saying? So for all the great ungas of hippieism, they're still very self-centered. You know? So then that's the problem, because it's not about God, it's about having the moral. So it's an atheistic, moralistic position. Like that. It's not even a theistic. It's not that they don't mind that there's some theistic thing, but it can be there. Because for the atheistic moralist, whether there's God or not, it doesn't really matter. There's some that are committed against and some who prefer. But that's the point is that it's being done for whatever it is their goal. It's not that God is actually that important, other than the feeling you get by, you know, appreciating God and nature or, you know, whatever it is. You know,
so he's become a supportive element.
Yes, he's become a supportive element. So that's all. It's a nice thing to think about, you know, then it's a good trip instead of a bad trip. You know, like that. So, you know, that's the... Does that make sense? So we have to be very, very careful to see that we don't drop into that. When it's that, no, the devotees have matured, then they are able to see in Krishna consciousness how all living entities are part and parcel of God. That's why families will develop, communities will develop. But if it's a matter of, no, it's about being more moralistic and learning from all these other persons, like that, they've actually dropped the consciousness. So the maturity is not spiritual. It's simply material, which will be lost. Because next lifetime, then there'll be a little kid who doesn't know all these things. While if they develop spiritually, the next life, then there'll be some maturity, you know, like Prahlad Maharaj. So the idea is that, no, you have to cultivate these moralistic principles separate. But actually, no, they have to be cultivated in relationship to Krishna. Otherwise, they're a waste of time, as the demigods are pointing out. Because anything you want to do materially, unless Krishna sanctions it, it won't work. So it may not be working so nicely because then of our attachment to it. So Krishna's trying to remove the attachment. But if we show with, you know, determination and focus and regularity that we're attached to these things and we don't want to give them up despite Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will, yeah, you have that. You want to be deviated, yes, then have it. But, you know, it's not Krishna's preference. But it's so in the beginning, that's why there's so much trouble, is trying to remove them. But if you're determined that no, you know, vyadasayatmika buddhi, that I'm one-pointed, that I want these material desires, then okay, have it.
He's so kind.
That's the whole thing, is that we're leaving him out of it. You know? And thinking, oh, it's the Vedic things, or this, or we're too fanatic, now we're more mature, we're more broad, we can learn from everybody. You know, it's like, we can learn from anybody, is anybody else going to learn from us? You know, you know, that's not part of the process. Right? You know, we end up in suits, not they end up in dhotis. You know, so, you know.
Yeah. But it's a well-known fact that in the Vedic culture, there is no such thing as Brahmins going out to India to learn something.
To
learn something.
To learn something, yes.
There is always people coming to India from
Russia, yes.
Greece, whatever.
Yeah, everybody came here, not over there. I mean, even going to America, it was a mistake.
Yes.
You know, Columbus thought he was going to sail west and end up over in India.
Yes.
You know, like that, at least China, you know. I mean, you know, anywhere you can get all the good stuff, right? You know, because from China down to India, that's where all the good stuff is, you know. So, but then he bumped into America. So actually it was an obstacle to his getting the good stuff.
West Indies.
Yeah, and you see, as America also, it's not everywhere comes. They're going out and collecting from everywhere else. You know, it's not that you know, like that. So unless you're into bison or cactus, then, you know, or beaver skins. Beavers, yes, you do get beavers there. Yes.
So there are some quality of a devotee. So some of them you can double up as moralistic ones. So can you say that those qualities determine the advancement of
No, it means they may or may not be there. That's what's pointed out, is the 25 qualities of a devotee, the Sarup Lakshana, that their surrender and commitment to Krishna and his service and pleasure, that's the one quality you'll always see. Mm-hmm. The other 24 may or may not be appreciated. You know, it's just like when you think of Bhima, you don't necessarily think of this ocean of like pleasant qualities.
Yeah.
But Yudhishthira, you do.
Okay.
So it may or may not be manifest.
Okay.
So the point is qualities come from Krishna. They're used in Krishna's service, that's perfect. They're not used in Krishna's service, then it's a nice waste of time. Right? Because we mentioned that there's four levels of consciousness, then ultimately they're all unintelligent. But you can say is within unintelligent that the jnanamoya is you know more intelligent than the manamoya, which is more intelligent, the pranamoya, which is more intelligent than the anamoya. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just like within bad, which is worse. You know, it's just like, okay, you're going to be out in bad weather. So, okay, probably we would say the worst would be if you got stuck in a tsunami or something, an earthquake, or, you know, like this kind of thing. Then, you know, it'll go down until it gets to, you know, you're stuck in a room with, you know, relatives that you really don't want to be in the room with.
Yes.
So they're all bad. But it's just, you'd rather be, you know, stuck with your, you know, your mother-in-law than a tsunami like that. At least in most cases, until it gets very severe, then probably.
It's the
same. Yeah, then it becomes the same.
But you would say, oh, this is better.
Yeah, that's the point. You would say it's better. It's like the Prabhupada, you know, was explaining how they train the living entity to be a pig. Because you can't just straight go from human into pig. It just won't work. Right, so then they take the human and start feeding them stool, and they give really bad quality stool, and so then you know it's really bad, and so once they start to adjust that they kind of become reconditioned that it's okay, but it's not revolting, then they bring a better quality of stool. And then they go, this is better. And so once that happens, they can distinguish. Now they put him into the pig's body because the pig can tell the difference between qualities of stool. You understand? So therefore, it's all stool, but there's gradation.
I'm lost. Just
have
a supply.
You're lost how it applies to your question.
Yeah.
Because we're making the point that you have all these good qualities, but they're all still useless if they're not connected to Krishna. So we may consider that this person is a materialist, he's a nice guy, so he's actually good and he's equal with the devotees. Because devotees are supposed to be nice and they're nice, so they're equal, but they're actually not. They're still less intelligent.
No, I understand that point, but I'm trying to understand more about the thing you mentioned about Bhima, like how much a devotee can deviate outside the...
He's not deviating, it's just not manifest.
It's not manifest, okay.
It's not deviating, it's just not manifest. You don't see it. You'll see times that it's like this. If we want to see a nice guy, do we want to hear about Bhima? You understand? Mm-hmm. Nice guy means Yudhishthira or Prahlad Maharaj or like this. You know, out there picking up elephants, spinning them around, tossing them through the air so they land on other elephants. Like that, you know, that's what we want to hear from Bhima. You understand? So it's not that he doesn't have those moments. It's just like when Draupadi's having problem from Kichika, she goes to Bhima and explains. And then his compassion and all that, they're there. But then his compassion is going to manifest as going and doing that which he does to elephants to Kichika. Right? Because that's what you want to see. So that's the whole idea, is that it's not that he doesn't have all these fine qualities. It's just that in the stories that he's outstanding in, you generally don't see them there.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's not that many examples as Bhima. Like most devotees that there are examples of are kind and...
Because they're not kshatriyas on a battlefield.
Yes.
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole thing, is that you're...
Not even kings, when you see, like, they gave this much in charity and they gave up their bodies.
Yes, but all that's being done by Yudhishthira.
No, I think there's several examples of kings. Like that one of the...
No. Listen. In the Pandavas, they're five brothers, but they're basically one entity.
Okay.
right? So when you see you know, those nice qualities and all those things like that, the refined side of the Kshatriyas, that's Yudhishthira.
Okay.
You know, when you see the valorous and all that, then is Arjuna. Then when you see the, you know, how this that strength that they manifest on the battlefield and all that, and that strength, that's Bhima. When you see like the intellectual and technical points like that, that'll be Sahadeva. And when you see, you know, just the ability to deal properly in the political field and all that, then that's Nakul. I mean, no, it's the other way around. Nakul is, I think, the, whatever. But between that, then, no, I think it is that way. So like that, then these are, they show the different qualities, because otherwise, you know. So it's just a matter, it's not that these other points aren't there, but if you tell the same thing that they all did that, it doesn't work so great as a story. Mm-hmm. People get bored. Is that something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So therefore, depending upon the situation, they're bringing out, you know, using those situations to bring out those qualities. So it's not that Bhima doesn't have all the 26 qualities. He does. It's just that the times where we like to hear stories about him, that's not where he's manifesting.
Because even like, you know, even the king was, what was it, Prithvi Maharaj was even kind to Kali, like Kali Yuga even.
Yes. And then Bhima's not kind at any time. It's just that those ones, we generally will see others doing that. Mm. We're just making the point that if he's doing something, means, you know, he ate, you know, how you say, breakfast yesterday, and he had rice and dal and the sabji, and he put the rice there, and then they came along and they put some dal on it, and then he ate the sabji with it like that, and when he finished, he got up and washed his hands and everything like that, right? And then he also yesterday, when he ate breakfast, he had the rice, and he put a pile of rice there, and they put dal on it, and then he mixed it up, and then he ate it with the sabji, and then when he was finished, he went and washed his hands, mouth, and feet like that. And then he also, over there, he did the same thing. He did that, so you want to hear all that? No, we just know for breakfast yesterday, devotees had rice and dal, and then you get, you know, one example. That's the whole idea of examples. You don't give everything like that, because otherwise, then it doesn't work for a story. You want to hear about it? You know, like that. And, you know, and then the 493rd Sampkirtan devotee, he also sat down with his pile of rice and all that, but there's a little difference. His pile of rice was a little bit bigger, like that. But, you know, ooh, variety. you understand? So that's the whole thing, is that the where that point is being, you use that example. Is that something? Yeah.
Can we say that the six schools of philosophy, they begin at Manomaya and they go up to Vijnanamaya and cannot come to Anandamaya because their conclusions are completely contrary to the Vedanta?
They start from Manomaya and go up to Vijnanamaya. Basically, that's where they're all functioning. Mm-hmm. Because they're accepting the Vedic version, they're following all the rules and regulations. But Karma Mimamsa is just for karma, and the other ones, I mean, yoga is generally used for karma. And so it's just a matter of what their goal is. Point is it's consciousness. Yeah. Nothing's on the level of bhakti. They may try to get to Anandamoy in the way of liberation, but the point is it's not a permanent Anandamoy. So that's why generally we won't classify it as Anandamoy. Technically it is, but they'll be there temporarily, so we won't consider that really, you know, significant. It's liberation, but it's not real liberation.
On that point, can we say the Charvaki would be Anandamaya?
Yes. Because whatever you do, just get ghee. Why? Because ghee is good. Beg, borrow, steal. You notice he said beg, borrow, steal, but get ghee, not olive oil or, you know, how you say?
Canola.
Roasted pumpkin seed oil. Or, you know, he didn't say any of those.
Maybe he didn't know.
Huh?
Maybe he didn't know.
Probably he did.
Olive oil.
Like that.
He's the standard.
Yeah, he's the standard. Yes.
You know, Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, he gave to the cold audience, we can say, Anandamaya level of presentation, and even within that, he gave the talk. He gave 64 rounds, reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, And then within that, he realized, you know, after some time, it's not really working. And then he just, you know, reduced the rules and said, okay, 16 rounds, and introduced all the rules and regulations. Before, he wasn't even there. But nowadays, we start from Anamaya. We say, you know, just be vegetarian, be moral, be beautiful, you know, and then we advance. We use, you know.
But does it work?
In some places, it does.
But are you producing, you know, Brahmanandas and Satsarups and.
No.
So that's the whole point. It's just a matter of what you want to produce.
Then the argument is that, you know, we're not Srila Prabhupada, so obviously we're not going
to. Yes, so if you're not Srila Prabhupada, then don't try to be like Srila Prabhupada and set your own standards. Not being like Srila Prabhupada means following what he does. You understand? So that's the whole point, is we're not Srila Prabhupada, then you can't follow. He sets the standards, you have to follow his standards. He sets standards, we follow standards. But if he sets standards and we're not Prabhupada, so we set standards, then we're actually saying that we are the same. In fact, because we're, according to the present time, we're actually better. So it's underlying. It may be the first time this point has been brought out, because as soon as you say, it's one of those things, like, you're not this body, we're not Srila Prabhupada, you just say it and it just clears all obstacles. It's one of those, you know. So the thing is that the point is it's, he's given the program and it's perfect for everything. It's just we don't catch or follow what he says. Right? Means Prabhupada also said everyone wouldn't live in the temple. Because as you grow, it's natural the community will develop. So Prabhupada was already saying that before, when there were just temples. But we held on to, it's just temples, and if you're living out the temple, side of the temple, it's Maya, not Prabhupada. So now, oh, we're doing this as if Prabhupada, you know, didn't include all these things. Prabhupada included also how that system would work. You know, the Namhata program was there. I mean, it's Namhat Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is like Jaipa Thakamaraj was using it to advantage, you know, for years and years. You know, 20, 30 years. Now people are talking community. The last, you know, 10 years or so. He was developing community. He has thousands, tens, I don't know how many people are out there in the Namhata. I must say, I don't know, 50,000, 100,000, you know? Lakhs. There's lakhs of people out there. You know, because he's using Namhata. Like that. And so you've got them all out there. But that as a community doesn't matter. Why? Wrong skin color. So then that's the problem. You can have lakhs of them, it's not right. But if you have a few of these ones, then it's okay. You know what I'm saying? So this is the problem that comes up, is that we're saying, oh, there's no community development. You know, Mayapur always had that. It's always community, always had all these different things. You know, so that's the point. They're only recognizing now community. But most people were becoming grihasthas from 81. You know, that whole drive that unless you're brahmachari, it's all Maya. But from 81, as everyone was getting married, it was becoming standard. But they still had no community. So now, before it was the problem with the brahmacharis, it wasn't community. But now it was the householders that wasn't community. So it was another 20 years. So the brahmacharis reigned for 10 years. But the grihasthas then for 20 years didn't have communities. And then now we're doing it. We're not going to blame it on the grihasthas. We're going to blame it on the brahmacharis. So the whole point is that we want to look at it properly. Then it's that Prabhupada's given the system. He's already given how it works. We just have to apply it. Because if you apply it, it always works. Point is that I remember that was very interesting, is that when Prabhupada went to San Francisco for the first time, I think that was like 67 or something, or then Mukunda Maharaj had gone to the West Coast, because they're all in New York, he went out to the West Coast. And then when Prabhupada came, there were like 50 devotees there to meet him. You know, all varying degrees of, you know, hippiness. But they were all there. And the fun part, what struck me the most, was in some kind of conversation. These hippies, what they're talking about, they're all saying about how we're not the body, we're the soul. We're a servant of Krishna. Developing love for Krishna is the ultimate goal, and that process is through chanting the holy name. So Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, they had down perfectly. So this whole point of, more of this and that, reduce and all that, anybody can understand that. Children can understand that. But you don't technically generally see that as a thrust when we're preaching nowadays. But that actually is the essence of all the philosophy of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. It means our relationship with Krishna, the process how to please Krishna, and the result of ultimately pleasing Krishna. So these aren't preached. And then we're thinking we're going to get something else. But no, if you preach this, you'll get the results that Prabhupada would get. But if we make up our own because of our own attachments, and our own attachments to our own previous identity, and thinking that particular previous identity, that's the real thing, or something that we idealized or idolized at that time. We didn't have money, so someone with money, or we didn't have position, someone with position, or, whatever it is that we consider to be ideal, and then take that as the standard, then you're not really going to get a solid Krishna conscious people sitting around with crocodile grins, smiling and patting each other on the back. And they're all great and fabulous, and the next moment they all go their directions, and never the twain shall meet. Is that? So, in other words, you can do it like that, but if you do it the way Prabhupada did, it'll be so much more efficient and so much quicker, and the results will be so much better. It's just a matter of understanding what Prabhupada gave. So the thing is we'll go to great endeavor to understand the modern, but how much endeavor is made to understand what Prabhupada gave? So that's the whole thing, is that it's not about that the process or anything is doesn't work. We can say that was for then. What about Ramanujacharya? That's 1,200 years ago, and still people follow it, and it works today. The better they follow it, the better it works. Madhvacharya, he was how long ago? 800, 700 years ago. So it still works like that. Shankaracharya then was before both of them, and people follow it, it works for them, as much as they get out of it. Nimbarkas, that's 5,000 years ago. Vishnu Swami, I think that's 2,500 years ago. It all works. So this whole idea is when the founder gives something, Prabhupada said he's giving for 10,000 years. So what Prabhupada gave, you do that by understanding it. Even if you don't understand, you just have faith in it and use it. It will work. But this idea is, no, we're not Prabhupada, so therefore we don't do anything that Prabhupada did. We just do our own thing. So we're not Prabhupada, we're Malechas and Yamanas. Then finish the sentence. Don't just, say the part that sounds good, and then, that makes us, we're so intellectual, and we're so, yes, I'm so humble. We're not Prabhupada. So we're going to change everything, like this. So is that? So we have to be very, very careful about this, because the founder Acharya is still not really well understood. It's not something that is caught yet. It's not something that's catching. At some point it will. And then we'll see a great resurgence. But the point is that how much you see what Prabhupada gave is perfection, and then follow that, then you get the results for that. And if you don't, then you'll get something less. It's connected to Krishna, so it's always going to be good, but it's just gradation of good. It's like, okay, then there's more okay, and then more okay than that, and, like that, until you finally get to perfect, most perfect, perfect, more perfect, most perfect, So if you want to work on the okay platform, then we can, but we're trying to do what Prabhupada gave. So this whole idea is that he doesn't know and all that. He knows. That's the thing. He knows. I've had devotees, they've never talked to Prabhupada on these things. They've never told anyone else. And then while they're sitting there and Prabhupada's introducing to some Indian gentleman, high-class Indian gentleman, he tells about his background. Like that. You can tell by looking. The symptoms are there. It's one of the things in Manu, you know, by the aspect and all these different things. You can tell the person's nature and what's that. So he can see all these things. He doesn't have to, you know, go through. So that's the point, is that it's just materialism. And we're taking it as if it's something special that you really have to learn about. No, all you have to do is have you know, some degree of lust, and it works. Right? Because otherwise, if America is so great, all you have to do is come there and be there for some time and you become American. You know, so where's the training? Where's the, you know, that same thing, you go to Europe and they'll think you're uncultured. Right? You know, but in America, you know, it's perfect. Somehow that's perfect for the world because it's the lowest common denominator. It's sense gratification is the common point. And nowadays you throw in some technology for the sense gratification and hari bol. You know, and then you're done. So how is that something special? So that's the whole point. You just exist, therefore you are American. Right? Isn't that what the guy said? I exist, therefore I'm American.
It was the other way around. I'm American,
therefore I exist. Yes. True, yes. That's the correct. See, I didn't even have the proper. That's the proper, yeah. Or if you want to exist, you should be American. Yes. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, say what all we want about Americans, but the point is they, the nature of them, it's perfect for Krishna consciousness because it's a clean slate. There is no culture. So therefore, they can take up Krishna consciousness very easy, because one of the things that I found unique to Americans that I haven't seen in any other culture like that, probably the closest you get maybe is the Aussies. But the is that whatever they were doing before, they can 100% reject it if they find something new that they like. So that's you could say in principle is their probably best quality for Krishna consciousness. Because if they take it up, whatever they do, that's the real thing. So whatever they're doing, the whole rest of the world should do. So if they're Krishna conscious, the whole world's got to be Krishna conscious. Otherwise, they're not with it, you know, as we said, you know, if you... Yeah, like that. So, but if they get deviated, then the whole world's got to be deviated. So that's their weakness, because there is no culture. You know, it's like a clean slate. You can write something on it, but then once you've written on it, and then they kind of try to rub it out and then write again on top of it, it becomes real messy. Right? You know, while then as you go farther like that, then you find that European, they'll think about it more. They have the culture. They have to see that it fits into what's there. So in one sense, it's slower than that, and sometimes the commitment may not be as intense. But once they do adjust, then it'll be very stable, because there's the concept that there is such a thing as culture, right? And it's more than yogurt. And anyway, yogurt came from that side anyway, right? So in that way, it's actually an advantage if it's being used in Krishna service. But if it's not, then it's probably their biggest weakness, because then they'll oppose the Vedic version simply because their mind says something else is better. You know, so that's the difficulty, you know, just to, you know, yes, make things, see, you know, things in a balanced light. So,
thank you.
Yes.
Maharaj, it seems that unless we understand more clearly the position of Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya, we are going to have a lack of a clear direction, vision in our...
Yes. Because when you see Prabhupada as the founder Acharya, then you know he's thought about all these things. Means he was already talking Varnashram and communities before... All these things, you know, you see in the letters and all that he's talking about it through his books. He's always talking about it. We don't see it. It's not Prabhupada's fault. It's our fault. And then if we see that and give up the spiritual, when Prabhupada says that you, means you start the conversation on Varnashram because human life begins there. But once explaining it so it's understood, to make sure that we don't take that as the primary thing, then it's secondary to Krishna consciousness. So unless you're Krishna, it's a waste of time. But because he used waste of time, therefore the whole thing's rejected. So that's not actually a very mature, deep study. You know, it's like, oh, Lord Chaitanya, like yesterday, Lord Chaitanya rejected Varnashram, therefore we don't follow Varnashram. Like that. You know, so does that make sense? So these are the things you hear.
You know, or varnasha. If it is varnasha, it only means growing carrots. So if you don't have dirt under your nails, you're not practicing varnasha. Like that. Yeah.
What did he get in saying that Parashur Prabhupada's genius in preaching in America was he preached it as something superior to what they were already doing? Just something that we don't really do anymore.
No, because we're taking it what everybody else is doing superior, mm-hmm. and we're trying to show you how you can kind of add it to that.
Yeah.
So the aspect is just you just add Krishna consciousness to what you're doing. That's because it's superior. By take something that's inferior, add Krishna consciousness to superior, you improve the quality. You know, it's how you say? It works better than, you know, Betty and her bit of bitter butter, right? Okay. No?
Bit of butter, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Bit of butter.
Huh?
Bit of butter.
Bit of bitter butter.
Yes.
Because
she
put the better butter to make the bitter butter better, but the bitter butter made the better butter bitter. Like that. No. So we're talking about you add Krishna consciousness because it's real and the other is illusion, then the illusion starts to dissipate. But if it's just, no, this is, you know, Western culture, it's so perfect, and we just add some Krishna consciousness, you know, don't know, yeah, it's a, oh, sorry, yeah. You know, like that, you know. You know, then, you know, why anybody, yeah, you leave them with their false ego, but then the problem is, will they surrender to Krishna with that false ego? So when problems come, they'll turn to somebody else, because they're giving solutions. You know? I heard something, was this, 2 days ago. In Australia, maybe you know about it. I can't remember what it's called. It's one new church. It's not Home Depot. It's Home Something. Home Front. Home Song. I think it's Home Song.
Hillsong.
Hillsong. Like that. It was something. Okay. So Hillsong. What do? This is their program. And this is all they do. And they're growing super fast. In fact, they're established in Australia. Now they're spreading out all over the world. You come, they do their own form of kirtan, you know, sing some songs and like that. They have a very short lecture. They sing more songs. And afterwards, if you don't already have a book, they give you a book. And now we're going there. Oh, you have to go and can't sit. They just directly go, this is about Jesus and here's the book. Here's the Bible. And they sing Jesus songs. You know, they do Jesus kirtan, do a Jesus lecture, another Jesus kirtan, and then a Jesus book. Right? And then, but if we do that, oh, that's wrong, that's not keeping up. People are looking for this. They want an answer. They want a kirtan. They want a book, and we're not going to give it to them. So who's going to give it to them? The Hillsong people. You know? So that's the whole thing, is Prabhupada already gave the perfect system that you can use anywhere. But, you know, we're not Prabhupada, so we don't do it. Does that make sense? It's already perfect. It's already perfect. You know, the standard of how you introduce, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and introducing the philosophy starts off with the Supreme. And then by the end, he brings it to the Lord, once it's been established. And then he goes back and says, wherever we said Supreme, that meant Lord. But we don't do that. We don't talk about anything. You know, you know, because then maybe they'll think it's Krishna consciousness. And, you know, what's going to happen? Are there going to be pitchforks and torches? Or, you know, what's going to happen? Maximum, they'll get up and go out, and you know, because they got better things to do.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, so we don't have to worry. Our system is already perfect. We just have to use it. That's the meaning of Founder Charya. He works it out, right? You know, so we see Bhaktivinoda Thakur is successful integrating with the Western and preaching. He had all kinds of high class people and all. That's all he preached to, was high class people. Like that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the same thing. Right? He got massive people and the high class people. And Prabhupada the same. And then somehow or another, oh no, but the Western culture, as if it's changed. You know? Okay, they don't wear big mustaches like they did back in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time. But they still wear pants and shoes and coats, and they don't wear hats now, except with baseball hats. Now hats are back in as baseball hats. But, you know. like that. Yeah, so you may avoid the 80s preaching when they didn't wear hats. So, you know, like that. Is that okay?
I'm just thinking that before, like when Prabhupada was still like on the planet, it would have brought a lot of confidence to someone who's trying to preach. Like, it's like the guy on the street's like, oh, well, who said it? Who says this? And you can be like, well, Prabhupada said it. And then
yeah, but the guy on the street doesn't know Prabhupada.
Yeah, but you can say, I'll introduce you to Prabhupada. He's right there, you know? Like, whereas now.
Yeah,
like,
but we'll introduce you to Prabhupada. Yeah. He's right here.
I know, but it doesn't have to say.
Well,
like,
of course it does.
Like, it does, technically, but to.
And so those Hillsong people are going to introduce you to. Yeah, and he's right there. The guy on the cross. His philosophy didn't work out so good for him. Can we avoid the crosses? Yeah, no, he already did that. You know.
One-time deal.
Yeah, it's a one-time, yeah, yeah. So, no, that's not a matter of a thing, because the Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that poem about Haridas Thakur.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because their instructions is the real important thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what people are convinced by, the instructions. So then that's always alive. And the more they are in contact with it, the more it happens. So even you start off simple, but it's the prasad and that basic philosophy, that association of devotees, the kirtan, that's what's going to make them go. So we have that, plus we have prasad, right? So we have all that the Hillsong has, plus prasad. You know, so like that, because I don't think of that, they're giving out the crackers and the stuff. Yeah, so.
I was more thinking of people that don't have that much sukriti than as an initial thing, you know, like.
No, but still, they don't, because they don't have the sukriti, they won't be able to appreciate anyway.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
You know, so it's about, the point is as you become purified, then Krishna reveals. That's the whole point. The process is not material. Going. Okay. Real protection can be obtained from you, O Lord, and therefore we surrender unto you. The Lord demands that one surrender unto him. Sarva dharmam parityajam am ekam sharanam braja, 1866. And he further says, Sakri deva prapannoyas tavasmiti chayaschate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadam yetad vratam mama. If one surrenders unto me sincerely, saying, my Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you, I always give him protection. That is my vow. Ramayana, Yudhakanda, 1833. The demigods offered their prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he had now appeared in the womb of his devotee, Devaki, to protect all the devotees harassed by Kamsa and his lieutenant. That's an annoying bird, right? Thus, the Lord acts as Satyavrata. The protection given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to the protection given by the demigods. It is said that Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but when Lord Ramachandra went to kill him, Lord Shiva could not give him protection. So even though he may try, same with, I think, what was that one? Huh?
Banasura.
We came across that already?
Next.
Oh, so who did he fight with already?
Bulmasur.
Ah, okay. Yeah, sometimes I really get it mixed up. Banasur, because then Shiva comes out and all that, but then Krishna defeats him, right? With a yawning weapon. At least he got to take a nap, right? You know, everybody else is like fatigued. You know?
It's a weapon of mass distraction.
The yawning weapon. Yeah, they never work on stuff like that, right? You know, they send it out and everyone just goes to sleep.
And first is Lord Shiva sends his Shivajwar, and then Krishna sends Narayana. Yeah. Shivajwar is to distract the whole creation.
Yeah, and then three. Freezes. Yes. Therefore, of the two, when it's cold, it's worse than when it's hot.
Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada, followed by many other demigods, had now invisibly appeared in the house of Kamsa. They began to pray for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in select prayers, which are very pleasing to the devotees, and which award fulfillment of all of devotional desires. Right? So they're pleasing devotees because they're about Krishna. And they're showing how Krishna is in connection with everything, everything about, just some aspect of Krishna. That's why they're pleasing. The first words they spoke acclaim that the Lord is true to his vow. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna descends upon this material world just to protect the pious and destroy the impious. That is his vow. The demigods could understand that the Lord had taken his residence within the womb of Devaki to fulfill this vow. They were very glad that the Lord was appearing to fulfill his mission, and they addressed him with Satyam Param, or the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everyone is searching after truth. This is the philosophical way of life. The demigods give information that the absolute truth is Krishna, right? So that's truth. The absolute truth means there's truths along the way, but unless it's got to Krishna, it's not actually truth. It's relative truth. Because something gives you a goal that's relative, then because that becomes then the next stepping stone for the next goal. So until it gets to Krishna, it's all relative. Right? So that's the thing, is that once it gets to Krishna, then it's not relative anymore. And then when you deal with the material energy in connection with Krishna, its results are not relative either. They give an eternal result. You'll get the temporary result, of course, that the material world offers. But the effect it will have on the living entity is eternal. Yeah. One who becomes fully Krishna conscious can obtain the absolute truth. Krishna is the absolute truth. Relative truth is not truth in all the three phases of eternal time. That's the point. It's Krishna, past, present, future, it works. Like we said, its things always work. Right? These are the processes. You always have them. And so then if we do them, they work. Right? People get together, they sing songs, they hear from the scriptures, they discuss some stuff, they eat some stuff, they look at books. It's always been going on in any religious order. That's what they do. Why? Because that's the eternal principle. So it always is there. But when we do something that only deals with the present, that means it's not absolute truth. Because it's not, it won't be valid in the future. It wasn't valid in the past. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Well, what is meant by, indicated by this term truth in this sense? Does
truth
it mean existence,
means
reality.
Truth means, yeah, all of that just means Krishna. Because so when we say we just want the truth. People don't want the truth; they want facts, and they don't even want facts. They want the perception. The perspective on the situation the way they want it. Right? So in other words, if you give the fact and it's not the way they want it, then they'll twist the perception on the fact to get it to what they want. So people don't want truth. They want gossip. They want something that they can benefit from. Like that. So truth means Krishna. So when we say truth, all the qualities come from Krishna. That means truth means knowledge and activities connected to Krishna. We say, let's say, compassion. That means dealing with the living entity in connection with Krishna. All these things, it all means Krishna. Because otherwise we take it separate from, no, you're supposed to be nice to everybody. But why should you be nice to everybody? Krishna is the one who's equal poised and sees all living entities the same. And so do the devotees. And so when the devotees are dealing with someone on that platform of compassion, they may be dealing through the medium of the particular difficulty they're having, but it's because of their connection with the Lord, and then they'll take that and inform the person further on how they can establish, how they can resolve these problems by connecting to the Lord. Because otherwise, you're nice to the guy today, yeah, but tomorrow another problem will come. Then who's going to be nice? You can just sit back. Well, I was nice. But you gave a temporary benefit. The guy's starving. Yeah, but I fed him yesterday, so I'm good. I'm nice. Nobody's starving right now. No, but I fed him yesterday. Like that. I'm a good guy. Nobody's starving right now. No. Don't try to make him look like a bad guy. I'm the good guy. I fed him yesterday.
So the whole point is no, you give the food that they're going to get hungry again tomorrow, but when you give prasad, they get eternal benefit. So that's the whole point. We're giving prasad because of the eternal benefit, not because everyone will go, oh, you're so charitably disposed, you guys are great guys. You know? Do you see us in movies nowadays? No. But before, when we were just giving out prasad because it was spiritual, we were in the movies. People wanted us in their movies. Nowadays, we're just the other guys that give out food because it's a nice thing to do. There's billions of people doing that. So that's the whole thing. It's not happening. It's about that you have to see all these definitions of these words in connection with Krishna, because the words are Krishna. That's another aspect of Krishna is the ingredient cause. So if he's all the ingredients, that means he's the language, he's the words, he's the actual real meanings of the words. So if you don't see the meanings of the words in relation to him, you're not actually seeing the real words. You're an illusion. It's one thing, it's Krishna, but you're saying it's something else. So that's how you can see is that the Brajbasis, they make, you know, such dynamic preachers. Right? Because otherwise you take it, they're the topmost, so they should be preaching in Satya Yuga. But the point is the topmost, they can preach in any yuga. Right? So therefore then they're the ones preaching in the Kali Yuga. Because they can see everything connected to Krishna. So even those weirdo, you know, hippies, Prabhupada could see them in connection with Krishna. But as we said, not everybody was hippies.
In the 80s, there was a few hiccups with ISKCON as a society.
There's a few?
Hiccups with ISKCON as a society, and it got a bit of a bad reputation. So do you think that...
We've always had a bad reputation. Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna had a bad reputation. Look at his father. You know.
But do you think that people are, devotees are now trying to overcompensate to present the, or get a good reputation, but like to give the, this food like we're doing?
But the point is it's spiritual food. You give food, but if you emphasize on that, no, it's material attachment that do it. It's not that they're compensating, because then you'd have, the point is how do you compensate for spiritual things? Right?
Yeah, we know that, but to externally to look for the mundane.
Yes, but the point is even if they say they're nice guys, what's going to be the benefit?
Yeah,
what are they going to do?
That's true. Well, they're not probably not thinking that.
Yeah, so the whole point is just being nice guys. And then the 80s, it means people nowadays that you're dealing with, the young people, you know, they're 20 years late. People joke about the 80s, the fashion of the 80s, the music of the 80s, the hairstyles, right? You know, all the, everybody looked like they stuck their finger in a socket, right? You know, hair, you know, like that, and that's the, you know. You understand? So it's that, because something happened, so what? You know, it's like, you know. America, you know, things happen back, you know, at a certain time, but they go on.
Mm.
Everybody goes on.
Yeah. I just get the impression that in the, particularly in the West, whoever's preaching there is, their the ISKCON's really turned into like, we want to first present like the Hare Krishna as like a good or valid, and then we'll go into the spiritual or something.
But why can't you do the two together?
Intelligence.
Yeah, requires intelligence. It requires maturity. Because the other is easy, because everybody does that.
Yeah, that's true.
But the whole point is that's still not the people who are running the world. We'll think of, oh, we'll be nice to these guys, but they're not the ones who are running the world.
Yeah.
The guys who are running the world got brains. The other guys above them. You know, so people sense gratification, get into this, that. So in other words, if there's some religion, people behave themselves. Otherwise, you can't, you know, if there's some, you know, otherwise, how do you run economics? So in other words, yes, they took that all out and all that, because then it's like this. If people follow too strictly the religious, they don't buy everything that you advertise. So then you get rid of the religious aspect. But then you find, because you got rid of the, now the economy goes up. But as you go, people are so immoral that they can't even behave and you can't even function, and they're burning down everything and fighting and not working and not cooperating, so then you can't run economy either, so you reintroduce it a bit.
Mm.
So the people we're aiming at aren't the people who run the place. So even if they want to do that, why not go higher?
Yeah.
You know, so the people, they know we're spiritual. They're not fooled by all this stuff. You know, so the whole point is that you just present as it is. You just have to maturely know how to say it. But the point is otherwise, if we're just another guys that feed people, then, you know, whoopee. You know, it's a nice thing, but, you know, then in that case, why won't we turn to the other organizations, you know, UNICEF and all these guys? They've been doing it for longer. Plus, they have cute little girls going out in uniform selling cookies, you know, and stuff like that, like the Girl Scouts and stuff. You know, would you rather have a cute little girl show up at your door selling cookies or some guy in, what do you call it, sandals, socks, you know, sandals and socks, you got to put them together, right? What do you call it? Cargo shorts and a polo t-shirt with something stupid written on the front. You know, and a bit of hair and a bit of this and that and maybe a tattoo and, right? You know, that's the thing, when you look through the little thing, you don't open the door. Right? You know, like that. They see a little cute girl with her ponytails and cookies, you open the door. So when it comes to what do you call it? You know,
yeah,
they do better. So if we're looking at that, why us? We're new kids on the block. But we're distributing spiritual food and all this and that and all that. And if all they can handle is that we're distributing food, then we'll take it.
But that's
not who we are. We're not presenting it that way. Yeah. It may be they don't want to hear about the spiritual. So, okay, we're going to be distributing food and this and that. And we heard as a municipality, you have a certain amount of funds or what do you call it, goods that you give to people who do that. We're going to be distributing to X amount of people per day. And so we'd like to get on the list to get some of your stuff. But we're doing it because it's spiritual. We're not doing it because, oh yes, we're doing this, you know, we're feeding the people and this is good and people will love, you know, that's not why we're doing it. Because the point is, today they like you, tomorrow they don't. It's like that, it switches. It's not that, oh no, now they'll always be committed. No, it's just one little thing and they're out the window. You know, you see somebody, they're right there and he's the greatest guy, and then something goes wrong and now nobody talks about him. Just one thing. That's the way it works. So why put your faith in people like that? You know, that's like trying to do practice martial arts in a room before the floor is covered by banana peels or something, you know, and saying, no, this is the way to do it. It's not going to happen. So, okay.
About to be compassionate distributing prasada to the animals, how we can offer the food.
Because if you preach to them, they don't like it. One day I tried it. I was sitting there and there was a dog sitting there. Nothing else to do. So I thought, I started preaching philosophy. The dog's looking, you know, he's just looking at me. And after a very short time, he got up, walked, you know, like 2 meters, and then sat down again. So he just didn't want to hear the preaching. You know? Because I wasn't yelling, I was nicely just explaining it to him and everything like that, and he was looking and everything, and then he just got up and moved. But if I pulled out some prasad, full attention.
Yeah, I mean, you can offer to Krishna the bhoga that they used to eat, like cows, for example. So offer the corn and the rice. And how it works?
You can.
Okay.
But otherwise, you just put some of what's left over from lunch in there, and they'll like it.
Yeah, it was, or mix it.
Yeah, just toast them in.
Put some prasada. Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to worry, because they're not. There's nothing sinful by them eating what they eat. Like the cow doesn't, you know, go out in the field and go Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu first before eating the grass. There's no sin. But they get some prasad, then that's theirs. You know, then they get benefit. So you don't have to, you know, feed, you know, take the can of cat food and offer it to Krishna first, and, you know, stuff like that. But it's very good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It means you can just take all, you know, the sacks of stuff and just, you know, once you bring new stuff, then you can, you know, say that you know, Krishna, accept this, we're going to use this for serving the cows and stuff like that. That you can do. But you don't take it out, put it in a bowl, put it in front of Krishna. You don't do that. That's another thing. Just by feeding the cow, Krishna's happy. You didn't say, you know, first offer it to me. You take the grass and just feed the cow, and he's happy. Right? He didn't say feeding ducks makes him happy. But, you know what I'm saying? So that directly is a part of the, you know, the activities that one does. So you just find what works. You just don't make it into a thing. Yes. Okay. Okay. Krishna is the absolute truth. Relative truth is not truth in all the three phases of eternal time. Time is divided into past, present, and future. Krishna is truth always, past, present, and future. In the material world, everything is being controlled by supreme time, in the course of past, present, and future. But before the creation, Krishna was existing. And then, when there is creation, everything is resting in Krishna. And when this creation is finished, Krishna will remain. Therefore, he is absolute truth in all circumstances. If there is any truth within this material world, it emanates from the supreme truth, Krishna. If there is any opulence within this material world, the cause of the opulence is Krishna. If there is any reputation within this world, the cause of reputation is Krishna. If there is any strength within this material world, the cause of such strength is Krishna. If there is any wisdom and education within this material world, the cause of such wisdom and education is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the source of all relative truths. So anything we're looking for in that, it all comes from Krishna. So if we see it in that way, then we're seeing truth. If we don't, that's relative. Right? So that was the whole point, is that the relative truths only in connection with Krishna have any value. We can say as no, the relative truth on its own has a value. Only the karmis think like that. But Krishna doesn't think like that, the sages. So therefore, why you can't do both? The problem is it's one or the other. The Krishna is recommending you do both at once. You perform your duties, which is varnashram, which is material, to please him. But we look at it, no, we'll only please him, no varnashram, or varnashram, no pleasing him. You know, not that we don't mind pleasing him. If he's pleased by our performance of varna, great. You understand? So we have to be very careful here, is that we always see things in connection with the absolute truth, not the relative. Devotees, therefore, following the footsteps of Lord Brahma, pray, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami, worshipping the Adi Purusha, the Supreme Truth, Govinda. Everything, everywhere, is performed in terms of three principles, Jnana, Bala, and Kriya. It's knowledge, strength, and activity. In every field, if there is not full knowledge, full strength, and full activity, an endeavor is never successful. Therefore, if one wants success in everything, one must be backed by these three principles, right? So the jnana, kriya, and the bala, they all have to be in connection with Krishna. Then the activity will always be there. So we say it has to be full effort. That means full effort means connected to Krishna. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's not full. So whatever result you get will be temporary. Therefore, if one wants success in everything, one must be backed by these three principles. In the Vedas, Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8, there is this statement about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natat samas cha bhyadikaras cha drishyate, parasya shaktir vividhaya shuryate, swabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. Madhyalila 13.65 purport.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.